It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, I cover them, I talk about them on the radio. I do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I understand what's going on out there. Physically, I'm just a guy. Joining me in studio, as always, he is a now retired tight end from the PLU football team.
Sure.
For lack of a better word.
He used to play football. Now he doesn't. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you?
I'm doing good. Coming off a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I got to spend some time with my girlfriend, which was nice, in Indiana. So we had a nice Thanksgiving. Cooked my very first turkey.
Oh, there you go.
Turned out a little dry, but, it was all right. It wasn't too bad.
All right. Also joining us in studio, he's our new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how are you? How was your Thanksgiving? What'd you do?
My Thanksgiving was pretty good, Christian, but we did a mini Thanksgiving, if you will. We did a smaller turkey because this next weekend we have some family coming in, so we're going to celebrate again with a bigger Thanksgiving.
Oh, look at you, back-to-back weeks. So, man, we did, let's see. Okay, pro tip. You know, this Thanksgiving for me was like a little more stressful than I intended it to be, just because in July I got married, right?
Yeah.
I doubled the family, maybe even tripled the family need to see, right? You just do, right?
You gain
another branch of the family tree, and we ended up at three different places on Thanksgiving, another place on Saturday for Thanksgiving, and then our own Friendsgiving on Saturday night. Which was, it turned out to be a lot, a little more stressful than I thought it was going to be, but it was all good. DJ, you said you cooked your first turkey?
Yeah.
So, for our Friendsgiving, I invited my little brother, he's back in town.
Where was he?
Some other place.
Oh, okay.
He was home, and I was like, alright dude, if you're going to come to our Friendsgiving, you got to cook the turkey. You're on turkey duty.
Ooh.
Right? Big time, right? I gave him a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And he took it. He took it in stride. He was all for it. He was ready to go.
Uh-huh.
He showed up to my friend's house early and was getting the turkey ready and, you know, throwing everything that he wanted to throw on that turkey. And he's about to start the cooker. And I'm like, dude, don't you got to, like, reach your hand in there and clear out some of the some of the guts that's down in there? And he was like, I don't know. And he looks in there and he pulls out, like, the neck, this big, long,
yep,
fleshy looking thing, and he goes, alright, cool.
Yep.
And that was it. He cooked it.
Yeah.
While he's cutting this apart, he did not realize that there was a bag of goodies from the insides of the turkey still in there.
Oh yeah.
Which is across every turkey. So Jonah's first turkey didn't go, I mean, it went well, it tasted good, but he just cooked it with the bag in there, which I don't know how great that was for. I didn't touch it because I was like, I don't know about that, but everyone else said it was good, so.
It didn't affect it, like, good, bad?
No, I think people liked the turkey. Okay. It was just kind of, I was like, dude, he cooked it with a plastic bag in there. I don't know if I'm going to eat that, but it was a good time. Everything went well over Thanksgiving weekend.
Speaking of Thanksgiving break, we went to the casino.
Oh, that's right.
When I first got there and lost $80. And I was already tight, you know, financial wise, going into this trip. So just losing that 80 was just like, crap. This trip is off to a great start. We ended up going back and played for a couple more hours, but still lost 40. I was up, I think, 200, so I should have walked away. But you know, the daring side of me said keep going. So
keep playing.
Yeah. So I did, and ended up losing it all. But I guess that was really the only hiccup of the trip. The biggest hiccup of the trip. We had a couple little ones, but those are...
Any of you mind sharing, or are you going to leave them at they were a little...
Well, so we tried out my grandma's rolls. I was like, hey, grandma, like, can I get the recipe? I really want to make it. And these rolls take time. You know, it takes like 8 hours to let them rise.
Jeez.
4 more hours after you cut them and put them on the cooking sheet to rise some more.
They better melt in your mouth if they take eight hours.
Oh, they are amazing. Like, they are amazing. I had the best turkey sandwiches because we got it right on the second time. But the first time, it says add a fourth cup of warm water to mix it up. So we did. Mm-hmm. And we put that in there. And when I was mixing that up, when we put it in for like the 8 hours to rise, I noticed it was just, it didn't look right. It didn't look doughy. And then we went to take them out for the after that 8 hours. And they didn't feel right. They weren't like sticking together. Come to find out, we missed the part where you're supposed to add another cup of warm water. So we messed that one up. That was kind of a bummer, but we ended up making a successful batch later that night for turkey sandwiches.
Are they literally in the oven for 8 hours?
No. So you let them like rise so the yeast can rise for 8 hours, and then you take them out. They only cook for like 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay, I was like,
yeah,
what?
No, no, they only, what? And then you take them out, roll them out. They're like kind of like croissants. You let them stand for 4 hours, and then you bake them for like 10 to 12 minutes.
Excellent. But, are you going to tweet out that recipe?
I might.
What's your Twitter handle?
DJWinter87.
Dope.
On Twitter.
Dope.
Follow me. I got some really good content on there, especially sports-wise. Mm. And
No croissant recipes or roll recipes coming soon to DJ Winter. Now he has to. Look at that, Seth. Now wow. I made him have to.
Put me right on the spot there.
Oh, man. Seth, you want to plug your Twitter handle since everyone's getting a chance?
I'll put the right one out there this time. It's _ Seth Bershing.
That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking
Christian,
about.
Christian, what's yours? Come on.
You made Christian us, Bond.
So. Yeah, there we go.
Easy money. They already
just
follow me.
You just assuming everybody already knows you?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Hey, you know what assuming does, though?
Just for you. I know. I don't assume. I know they're following me. Okay. If you want to go back and listen to everything we've talked about in the history of Half Athlete Radio, you can do it at mastmedia.plu.edu. We're in the sports category underneath sports podcasts. Go find us there. Also, check us out on YouTube. It's Half Athlete Radio over there on YouTube. Got a lot of video content that has come out in the last 3 weeks.
Just a soccer one that came out.
Yeah, Half Athlete Tries Soccer Passing. Just check that out because I did so well.
Yeah, you did. I believe men's soccer even tweeted out with a training camp invite, didn't they?
Yeah, they invited me to next year's training camp. And I don't know how much eligibility I have left because it's different across all different divisions, but we probably won't find out. I won't be around here after May, so... tough deal for the men's soccer team. I will not be playing for you guys anytime soon. If you want to call us, you can do that at 253-535-7332. Once again, our phone number is 253-535-7332. And let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. They kind of, it's a busy, busy football week, obviously, with Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. They played on Sunday. They had the San Francisco 49ers down there in Santa Clara. There, I'm a hipster. I said Santa Clara instead of San Francisco. Ooh, I'm so cool. Seahawks kind of rolled to a pretty easy victory. The final score was 24-13. Again, that final touchdown for the 49ers came.
Very last play.
Pretty much garbage time. And a pretty relatively easy win for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we expected going into this game against the 49ers. It didn't look good from the first play. First offensive play for the Hawks. Russell threw a pick, but that was the only turnover of the game for us. I guess it is what you expected here in this game. Hawks pulled away 24-7, and really, like you said, that last touchdown was in garbage time. Russell Wilson, again, escaped many, many pressures from that defensive line. I do think that having Joko back is going to help us down the stretch run here, and I'm hoping for a good run in these last however many games. Let's see, 11. So how many more games is that? Five
more.
Yeah, so five more weeks. I don't think the Rams are going to hold up, so it'll be interesting to see going forward.
I don't know about that. Seth, do you have thoughts from Sunday Seahawks game?
Well, the defense did look good. I mean, they held the Niners to 6 points until the very last minute of the game. I mean, yes, it's the 49ers, so take it with a grain of salt. But any time that you're holding your opponent to single digits, that's an impressive showing. Offensively, they were a little slow out of the gate, as DJ alluded to with that interception very first play. Second drive, they missed a field goal. Thanks, Blair Walsh. Next possession, they punted. So first quarter, no points. I'd like to see that change, but they got it going second quarter, so can't complain too much.
DJ, you mentioned that Russell Wilson kind of uses his escape ability.
He got sacked. None at all. There was no sacks.
No sacks. He finished the game. He completed 20 of 34 pass attempts for 228 yards, two touchdowns, and like you mentioned, that interception on the very first play of the game. The question I want to pitch to you guys is when you watch the Seahawks play, and you know, the narrative is that offensive line isn't the best in the league by any stretch of the imagination. Do you think that Russell Wilson almost scrambles his way into trouble at times?
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. When you're an offensive lineman, especially out on the edge with like tackles and stuff, you're trying to hold that pocket, and sometimes when Russell escapes, they can't see when he escapes, and then they kind of get forced into holding calls and things like that because they don't know that he's escaped, and the DN tries to go out outside, and the tackle just ends up holding him. So I definitely think that that's the case with Russell sometimes. I do think that he's, because of how bad the reputation of the Seahawks offensive line is, I think Russell Wilson is a little quick to scramble sometimes. I believe he could stay there in the pocket, but that again, that's just part of Russell's game from college and up into the pros. He likes to get out, and he's pretty good outside the pocket. He can create plays.
Seth, what do you think? Does Russell Wilson scramble himself into trouble, or is all that movement necessary
at times,
for him?
Yeah, I don't think the offensive line the last few weeks has been as bad as most people think the Seattle O-line is.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, they're a lot better with Jokel, Dwayne Brown on that line now. But yeah, every now and again, I think Wilson tends to leave the pocket, and as DJ said, the rest of his blockers, they don't see that. They don't know what Russell Wilson's doing. They don't know where he's going to be. And a lot of times he's back and forth and back and forth, and he's up the field, he's down the field. And that's really difficult for a blocker to not hold or not make some kind of penalty or let somebody by you when you don't even know which way you should be blocking your defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think this offensive line, I've been saying it now for a few weeks, this offensive line has been getting better. And now I think this is the best starting five that we have, with Ifedi on the right at the right tackle, Posick right guard, Britt at center, Jokel left guard, and Dwayne Brown at left tackle. I think that's the best combination of guys that we have. And just the more they play together, the more they're going to gel and become better. I think many times the Hawks' struggles get blamed on the offensive line, because that is just an easy kind of scapegoat when the offense is struggling, because everything starts with them. People don't ever put the blame on like the running backs or the wide receivers just need to be better, for example. They just kind of point it right to the offensive line.
Yeah, they haven't been the story to me at all this year, the offensive line. I don't think there's been a week. I mean, we do a show once a week, so we hit the most important topics we feel coming into each show. Mm-hmm. There's never been a show this year where we've come in and just been like, yeah, that offensive line is trash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've never done it. So to me, that's a positive step forward for that position group moving forward, just because they haven't been a topic of discussion. And that's a good thing for that group after some years that they've had.
And if you look at like the past years, like you said, Christian, like they've been rotating guys in and out, and they haven't developed any continuity. When you're trying to get five guys to play together, that takes time, and just you got to have patience. And in today's world of social media, and everybody wants things now, they just want success overnight, and that's just not the way to develop a football team and an offensive line more specifically.
Yeah, it's totally fair. Let's jump across to the defensive side of the ball. Bobby Wagner was a stud all day long. Commentators couldn't stop talking about how good Bobby Wagner was. He had 8 tackles, 7 tackles all by himself, and 2 tackles for loss. Seth, what did you think of the defense overall?
Overall, they were very good. The Niners' offense couldn't really run the ball. And, of course, when you have C.J. Beathard at QB, you're probably going to be a little run-heavy. So anytime that you're making them have to be in a passing situation with a below average quarterback, you're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the Hawks, like I said in my kind of like game summary, the Hawks did what they needed to do here, on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. One thing I want to, you know, kind of point at is, where has Michael Bennett been all year? We haven't really, you know, he hasn't really been in the backfield a lot. He did get a sack in this game, but the announcers really haven't been calling his name much. And maybe he has, I know at the beginning of the season he was big on the anthem protests and stuff like that. So maybe his head just hasn't been in the right place this season, or he just could be on the decline.
Michael Bennett on Sunday, four tackles, three solo tackles, a sack, and one and a half tackles for loss.
Yeah, so this,
I think it's I also think he's dealing with an injury right now. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he has plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
So for humans the size of NFL players are to be dealing with a foot problem has to be one of the most annoying injuries that a person that size could have to deal with. I think he's played well.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say he's had a great year, but I think he's played well for what he does.
Yeah, but even at the beginning of the year, like, we didn't really see his presence, wasn't really felt, I feel like, before that injury. And like you said, he does have an injury. Everybody's going to have, like, as we get to these later parts or these latter parts of the season, almost every NFL player has some nick or ding that they're playing through. It's just not possible to go that long in football without a without an injury. So
I mean, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him.
That injury
has to suck.
Yeah. I think another part of it has to be the loss of depth. I mean, Averill's been out for this entire season, so Frank Clark is starting opposite side, so he doesn't get to sub out quite as often either, so he's probably not as fresh come fourth quarter.
That's true. And their depth has been a problem along with injuries that have, you know, bit the Seahawks in the butt.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's hit a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Apple Cup and the beatdown that Washington gave to Washington State on Saturday evening. Don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is DJ Winter. I am a former tight end for the Pacific Lutheran football team. I'm joined by Half Athletes Christian and Seth here in studio.
What's my name? Hold on, what's my name?
Christian.
What is my name? I have two names.
Christian Bond.
There you go. You got it.
Sorry, Christian Bond and Seth Bershing. If you like what you're hearing right now and want to hear it again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Again, that's massmedia.plu.edu. Christian laid out the ultimatum at if we hit 100 subscribers on Half Athlete Radio on YouTube, which is another way to listen to us, then we will do another bonus show. How are we doing on that?
I think we're up to like 81.
81, all right.
So you guys need to push it more on your friends.
Okay, we'll do. I will take blame for that because I've kind of been, you know, slacking in that department.
Realistically, you are part of the POU football team. That's like 100 and however many friends you have built in. We should be at like 250 by now.
Yeah.
But
I will take all the blame for that.
There you go.
But, you know, if we get to that 100 subscribers, then we will do another bonus show. And like I said, the way to do that is go to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio on the search tab, and it'll be the first thing that pops.
Oh yeah, it's
pops
definitely
up on
the
there.
First.
Yeah,
it's not even a question.
And just go down and hit that subscribe button, and that's it's pretty simple. That's how you do it, and method A to listening to our best work or all of our work there.
You bet.
Well, over the weekend, I forgot something. Please call in and let us know what you thought about either the Hawks or the Huskies, or we even got a little Mariners talk here at the end. And the number to do so is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. Over the weekend, we saw an absolute beat down in the Apple Cup. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings enjoying some wings and a couple adult beverages there.
Wow, that's the way to do it.
Exactly. But but I can't find any other words to describe this Apple Cup as utter domination.
Boring.
Boring?
That's the word I'm going to go. Boring.
What?
Maybe. I don't know.
No pun intended. I have no dog in the fight. Like, I just want to see a good football game, and yeah. I don't remember the last time I've seen a good Apple Cup.
Well,
Washington beating the tar out of Washington State.
If you're on the Washington side, then it would be happiness, enjoyment. If you're on the Cougs side, you're heartbroken, no hope. It's like Star Wars. They need a new hope in this yeah. Apple Cup series. Christian described it as boring. Seth, what did you think of the game?
I didn't get to see the game. I was working, of course. Mm-hmm. But looking at the box score, it definitely looks like it was a boring game. I mean, Jake Browning only threw for 93 yards for the Huskies because they just ran all over the Cougars. They ran for 329 yards. Gaskin had 192 by himself and four TDs. And I mean, Folk did throw for 369 yards, one TD, but he also had three interceptions. And as a whole, the Cougars had negative 24 rushing yards. That's about as lopsided as it gets.
Yeah. Christian?
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
got anything?
I watched the game and I was sad it wasn't a close shootout.
So you
and
just wanted to see a good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It doesn't matter to me who wins the game. I wanted to. I'm not going to cheer for either side. I mean, I ran a poll on Twitter asking people.
What was the poll?
It was go Dogs, go Cougars, or go Lutes, and go Lutes won. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I just wanted to see a good football game, and we didn't see that. So
yeah,
more Washington dominance. I don't remember. I truly don't. If you guys do, if you do at home, call us 253-535-7332. When was the last good Apple Cup?
I don't know. You would have to go back a couple years because I know this senior class hasn't lost an Apple Cup. And so that's including redshirt seniors. So that's 5 years of just, you know, like I said, utter dominance. And I think Peterson right now has the Cougs' number. And he
Cougses?
Knows... What?
Did you say Cougs's?
The Cougs. I said that too fast. The Cougs number. Does that work? Is that better?
No, it both ways work. I just like Cougs's better.
Yeah, Cougs's. He knows how to play defense against them, and that way is getting only rushing three and getting pressure on Luke Falk, and they were able to do that play in and play out, especially the combination of Vita Vea and Gray Gaines. They were just in the backfield all night long, causing ruckus against a pretty good Cougars offensive line that includes Cody O'Connell, who's probably going to be a high draft pick in this year's draft. He's a huge guard. He's like 6'8", 370, I want to say, from Wenatchee. And that really was the key to this game. And it gave Washington plenty of chances on offense to, you know, get their offense going. And that ground attack was brutal for the Cougs defense, which was a top defense statistically. I know Christian doesn't like to look at the stats.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, they had a really good performance. I mean, a stellar performance against Washington State.
Yeah.
Because I was curious, I had to find the last time. I mean, I guess the Apple Cup, you know, we're searching for the last good Apple Cup. The Apple Cup maybe has very rarely been good. Washington Huskies lead the series 72. They're 72-32 mm-hmm. and 6 in the series.
Yeah.
I mean, has the Apple Cup ever been good? Like, what is going on? Why do we hype this up so much? Last good Apple Cup.
Because of the rankings.
Last good Apple Cup, 2012, Washington State won 31-28 in overtime. That's what I wanted to see.
And that's
not
when
necessarily,
both
the
teams
outcome
were trash.
I wanted to see that game. I wanted to see overtime. I wanted to see, you know, especially with what were they ranked coming in? Washington State was 13.
Washington State was 13th. UW was 17th. And by the way, Washington is now ranked 13th in the college football playoff rankings.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, why couldn't we see some overtime thriller where, you know, two decent teams battled it out? I mean, that would have been fun. But instead, I sat on the couch and watched garbage.
Yeah.
Does one team destroy the other and no one wants to watch that?
I watched it.
I mean,
too.
Yeah, but it's not the Huskies' fault that the Cougars didn't show up.
Yeah, the Cougars have a reputation for just not showing up, and they didn't look like they had any fight they just were completely rattled by the situation, it seemed like. Which that's why the Apple Cup has been like it is. The Cougs come in and they coug it. Even at their home stadium, they get dominated. I know last year, both teams were ranked, and UW went over there and put the beat down on them in that game as well. So I don't know what it is.
I was disappointed in that one too.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but the Cougars have to change something when it comes to Apple Time Week, because whatever they're doing right now isn't working. I noticed when you said boring, Christian, Jake Browning was only 11 for 17 with 93 yards. I said it once, and I'm going to stand by it. I still think they need to open up the competition.
Oh, boy.
And push the ball downfield more, because Browning doesn't possess the arm strength. And like I said, he's bored me to death with him being the starting quarterback now.
You bored with winning games? Is that what you really are? Man, you belong with a POU football program.
Ooh,
yeah, that's right.
Fired.
Taking shots right now. That's right.
Wow.
That's right. You get bored with winning. God, why? Why are we even? All right. You want to talk about what bowl they're gonna go to?
Sure. Yeah.
Like what?
What? Well, actually, if you don't mind, I did have a thought. I was looking at the college football rankings, and there's like five or six teams who have a really, really good case to be in the college football playoffs. And that got me thinking, again, we've talked about this a little bit, the four teams in the college football playoffs. I know we talked about if they should expand it to eight teams. I know, Christian, you were very much against that. I don't remember, DJ, where you fell.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
All for it?
Oh, my God.
My idea would be...
Fire Browning.
Top six teams go to the college football playoffs.
Okay.
You take the conference championship winner from each of the Power 5 conferences, and then
one of the
next best team,
okay,
whichever, whether that be a non-Power 5 team who was just 12-0, had a great season, or if that's, say, an 11-1 or 10-2 Power 5 team who just got snubbed in the conference championship game.
Okay. I like that idea. I think any playoff system that gets the Power 5 groups in there, because we're always debating what conference is the best, you know, throughout the season, and I think that would be a great solution to the problem of only four teams getting in there right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can come up with scenarios all day long. I'm going to leave it as it is much more special as just four teams getting in instead of opening it up to six. I mean, think about it this way. We're going to cross-pollinate and go to a different sport. The NBA, half of the league gets into the playoffs. Do people love the NBA playoffs?
Not really.
Not until the championship.
They don't pay attention.
They suck until the semifinals. Yeah. They absolutely suck. They're garbage.
Yeah.
So, if you just skip the part that sucks and make it more special, you're going to have a better playoffs. Duh, Christian. I know. But that's where we stand with the college football playoffs. Four best teams make it in. Three games total to find a national champion. Done. Easy. Simple. Special.
Yeah.
College football playoffs. Four.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's fair.
It's a very valid case. I think it's just whatever floats your boat, melts your butter in this case. Like, if you want to do six teams, great. If you want to do four teams, that's still great. I do think, you know, we're all about equality in this the nation that we live in now. So I think that putting six teams in the playoff would put it on an equal playing field with all of the Power 5 conferences.
Interesting idea, Seth. We can talk more about it in the shows that come. When we come back, we're going to go back to the NFL. We'll talk a little bit of Seahawks, talk about whatever you want to talk about at home if you give us a call. But you got to do that to get to talk about
what's
it.
The number?
The number, they'll find out when they stick around and we come back.
Okay.
After break. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Seth Bershing. I'm a half athlete here at PLU.
joined in studio today by another half athlete. His name is Christian Bond.
Yeah.
Also in studio, we have a former tight end for the PLU football team. His name is DJ Winter. If you like what you're listening to and you want to hear it again, log on to massmedia.plu.edu. Go check out our YouTube page, Half Athlete Radio. We are up to 80-ish subscribers, and we are trying to hit 100. Let's do it by Christmas, guys, so we can do another bonus show.
Ooh.
So, yeah, if you want more content, go subscribe to that. Again, that's Half Athlete Radio. Please call and talk to us here at the show. The number to do that is 253-535-7332. Again, that's 253-535-7332. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So go ahead, call us. So the Seahawks this next week will be taking on the Eagles at home in what could be a very pivotal game for the Seahawks. They are currently 7th in the NFC, and as you guys both know, they need to be in the top 6 if they are going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very important game looking at the way the two teams match up. Of course, the Eagles have had a stellar season. They're 10-1 right now. Seahawks sit at 7-4. Offensively, the Eagles are averaging 394 yards a game to the Seahawks 337, which isn't too bad as well. Yards allowed per game, though, the Eagles are allowing 310 yards per game, while the
Well,
the Seahawks are allowing 330.
Christian was saying before, you know, or during break, that rushing-wise and passing-wise, the Eagles are outgaining the Hawks by 20 yards, right?
Yeah, I mean, for team totals both ways, it's about 20 yards the wrong way if you're a Seahawks fan, because the Eagles are doing better than the Seahawks are in gaining yards and keeping teams from gaining yards. So Should be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, I think, this has to be one of the bigger games of the season so far for the Hawks. I mean, every game from here on out is going to be big, but especially this one, just because the Eagles are the best team in the NFC and all of football right now. And so just on that fact, it is a huge game. Sunday night football game at that, too. So it'll be interesting to see the Eagles' defensive line against the Hawks' offensive line. Because I know with the combination of Chris Long, Fletcher Cox, and others, that Eagles' defensive line is a force to be reckoned with. And if the Hawks are to win, they're going to have to control that battle up front.
So what do you guys think? Do you think they can get it this week? They're going to win?
I don't know. This is a tough one because we've lost the last two games at home by 3 points. I know we had that conversation of, are the Hawks... Is home field advantage an actual advantage? I don't want to be a homer here, but I think the Hawks...
Really?
I think we're well past that point.
This is new.
Because, you want to be fair, and I want to say the Hawks are going to win, but there's just something in me that I think the Eagles are gonna get this one again, and the Hawks lose 3 straight at home. I don't know the score. I'm not going to predict the score, but I think, like I said, I think the Eagles get it done.
I think the Eagles are a very, very tough matchup, but I think the most fun part about this matchup is if the defense plays well, the conversation will start to shift as to, is Richard Sherman overrated? Because if a team could do just fine without a quote-unquote star, then is he really a star?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it against the Falcons. When the Seahawks played the Falcons on Monday night, yes, the Seahawks gave up, 34 points, but it just as easily could have been 20.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a fumble that was returned by the Falcons for a touchdown, and there was, another fumble that I think it put the Falcons on the 10-yard line, and they waltzed in and scored a touchdown from the 10. I mean, that's a pretty solid defensive effort against a pretty good, an offense that hasn't been what it was, again, but it had the weapons to be, very good.
Yeah.
Again, they romped the 49ers, but that everyone expected that. if they come out, the Seattle Seahawks defense, and comes out and plays well, I think the conversation will shift to talk about Richard Sherman being overrated as a cornerback and Cam Chancellor, you know, maybe not being as good as we thought he was.
Yeah, I don't think overrated is the right word to say. I think maybe just a changing of the color guard there in Seattle, because Sherman has been a Hall of Fame cornerback in his, I don't know, his years here in Seattle. And I think he has been investing in the young guys, and that investing is coming to fruition here. And you can see it in these last couple of weeks. These young guys can play. And as far as Cam Chancellor, I think you could go as, he's a great player. His significance isn't being felt, or the significance of his loss isn't being felt as much as it is for losing Sherman. I think Seth.
That's like the definition of overrated, though.
Yeah, but if you have, I don't want to say he's overrated though, because if you have him in there, that just makes Zach greater of an impact because of the way he can come down and play the run. Really, he's a speedy linebacker out there playing strong safety. And when you have that presence going across the middle, and you know that Cam Chancellor is right there waiting for you to catch the ball so he can just annihilate you, that's scary, and that sticks in the mind of wide receivers and tight ends. I know it does for Vernon Davis running across the middle.
give us a call, 253-535-7332. Again, our number is 253-535-7332. Seth, you have thoughts on if what the Seahawks are missing right now defensively maybe is less of a deal than we thought it was? I mean, I could be wrong. Eagles can come in here and hang 45 points on the team just as easy, and I could be looking like a dork.
Well,
next week. But like,
we all have looked like dorks at some point.
I don't know. I mean, I keep waiting for the Eagles to collapse. I don't think it's going to happen at this point. As far as the Seattle defense goes, yeah, they're looking all right with the guys that they have in there right now filling in. I mean, I think they could do a little bit better if they had their superstars out there. I mean, Cam Chancellor makes a huge difference in the run game and the pass game, which you can't say about very many safeties. And I mean, you have entire games where teams aren't throwing it at Richard Sherman simply because he's such a lockdown corner. They are definitely missing that to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And those teams are good, and good quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, for example,
yeah,
a couple years ago didn't throw Sherm's way.
We can save this conversation for a little bit later in the show if you guys would like to. But right now we have a caller. His name is Thomas. He's from off campus, and he wants to talk about the situation going down over in New York with the Giants benching Eli Manning. Thomas, what do you got to say about that?
Well, you know, I kind of wanted your guys' take on this one. I'm not a Giants fan. They play in the NFC. I'm a fan of an AFC team, but it kind of strikes me as just one of those crazy scenarios that you can only find in the NFL. Coach, you know, struggling. Giants at 2-9. They've been outscored 2-1 at home. They've scored less than 20 points in 7 games. Coach trying to save his own skin benches a Super Bowl legend, a New York legend, and it looks like Eli's done in New York, and I just kind of wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Go ahead, go around the room.
Thomas, first off, I think your tweet said it best when you talked about Buffalo benching Tyrod Taylor for Nathan Peterman, and then I believe your tweet was, the Giants response, here, hold my beer, and they certainly did that. I'm not in favor of it just because it is for Geno Smith. I think if it was for Davis Webb, because they wanted to see if they needed to draft another quarterback in the upcoming draft, I think that would be warranted. But as for Geno Smith, that's just an option you go to if your star quarterback is injured. Geno has shown that he is not a good quarterback in the NFL. And so I guess that's kind of my take on it.
I would be all right with this if the Giants had another quarterback on their roster who, like a rookie that they thought maybe had the potential to take over. But Geno Smith has been in the league for, what, 3, 4, 5 years now, and he's started dozens of games. You know he's not the answer. It just seems like McAdoo trying to cover for himself and really betraying what's probably a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
To me, a lot of times when teams make inexplicable moves, I look at it as almost like a relevancy thing. Mm-hmm. The last time I could think of like a relevancy move, it was off the field, but when Cam Newton like jokingly poked fun at a female reporter and it came off awful, the Panthers weren't great when he said that. I mean, that was, to me, that was like, oh, I'm doing this to get attention. And I almost think in a way the Giants have done this again, like you said, the 2-9 season. They're all over the news right now. I mean, we're even talking about it right now. Show based out of Seattle. People calling in and want to talk about it. It's a move to be relevant. It's a move to be in the news for a little bit and then make a move and figure it out after that. I mean, there's no reason to do it other than to just be like, hey, look at us. Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Do you guys think that they're going to, you know, waive Eli and Eli might have a chance to continue his season somewhere else this year?
As for that, I'm not sure yet. I think, I don't know, time will tell. I do think his time in New York is done. The only team that I could see picking him up or giving him major consideration because he would make them probably a better contender than they are right now is Jacksonville. I know Tom Coughlin is down there right now. And they have a stellar defense and a subpar quarterback in Blake Bortles with a pretty good running game with Fournette. So I think Jacksonville would be the perfect landing spot for him. If not this year, then maybe next year, because I know that he's 35 right now, and that was the same age that Peyton was when he ended up leaving Indianapolis.
Look at DJ drawing the lines right there. That makes a ton of sense, DJ. Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Talk to you later, Thomas.
Bye-bye.
That is a very interesting and hot debate right now in the NFL.
Keep going with it. Keep going with it, Seth. What do you think?
I think Houston could be another spot for Eli Manning if he were to get waived.
In the immediate future?
Right, yeah. If he were to get waived, like, today, I think Houston could be a spot because they were a playoff team when Deshaun Watson got hurt, and I don't even know who their quarterback is right now. Is it
Tom Savage?
Tom Savage?
They were just on TV, like, 2 nights ago, I think.
Yeah, and he had did you guys see that? The empty press?
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Press conference after the game?
Yeah, Eli Manning, I don't think he gets waived this year. I think he stays a Giant until
the end of the year.
The end of the year, and they move him. A possible fit. I don't know if it makes the most sense after DJ laid down that like sweet Jacksonville idea. When Carson Palmer retires, he could be an Arizona Cardinal. That's just me assuming. The Cardinals are going to need a quarterback when Carson Palmer retires soon.
I think Palmer is done after this year, and I think that's another one that makes sense because you have a strong running game.
It makes sense for both parties. That's the only reason I thought of that. But you laid out Jacksonville. It's like that makes too much sense not to happen.
Arizona would have to address their offensive line, though, because that's one thing that has plagued the Giants this year is a subpar offensive line, and Eli just doesn't have the mobility to move around.
Eli doesn't have anything, though. He didn't have anything. I mean, he had zero wide receivers that anyone has ever heard of before. He had no running back. I mean, what could he do?
Yeah.
It's almost better for him to just be sitting on the sideline watching games. I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks for him is his streak of 210 games started is now over. But, I mean, it's a very tough situation for a veteran that has given New York so much, and it feels like they aren't repaying him back enough.
Interesting stuff happening across the NFL. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more great stuff to talk about here on Half Athlete Radio
Mariners,
on
right?
Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore. I write about them. I cover them. I do all I can with them. Mentally, I'm an athlete. I understand what's going on an athletic surface. Physically, I'm just a guy, and that is how I am, a half athlete. Joining me in studio, a former tight end for the POU football program. His name is DJ Winter. Also joining me is our new co-host. His name is Seth Bershing. If you want to listen to all of the shows we have ever done, you can do it at mastmedia.pou.edu. That's where you can find shows in its entirety. Go underneath sports, scroll down to sports podcasts. That's where we're at. You can also hit us up on YouTube. That is the easiest way to listen to what we have created for you to listen to, Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We're trying to reach 100, and we're about 20, 21 is shy of getting to that mark, so help us out. And get us jobs one day. I mean, that's why we're doing this. We want to get paid one day, so help us out. If you want to call us and talk about whatever you desire, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, that number is 253-535-7332. Right now, we are working our way through the Major League Baseball offseason, and we decided that we want to talk a little bit about the Seattle Mariners and what they are doing. There's someone in the news right now pursuing a Japanese star. I cannot pronounce his first name, so I won't try, but I know his last name is Ohtani. He is a two-way superstar, a right-handed pitcher that can throw 102 miles an hour, a left-handed hitter that puts the baseball in the bleachers, I mean, with ease. Mariners are pursuing him. I mean, I'm hearing rumors that they're going to send Ken Griffey Jr. over to Japan to talk to him and tell him about how great Seattle is. General Manager Jerry Dipoto has gone as far as saying, you know, yeah, we'll try Nelson Cruz at first base. We'll try him, you know, in right field just to get Ohtani some reps at DH. I mean, he's that good of a hitter that Man. They're willing to sit their number four slugger on a couple certain days to get Ohtani time in the lineup. So, intriguing. I don't want to put, personally, I'm not going to put too much faith into it and just kind of wait and see, because I don't want to get so excited and then all of a sudden, oh, he's a Yankee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I'm at with this Ohtani chase. Do you guys have thoughts on the two-way Japanese superstar?
I don't know. I'm kind of like you. I'm not trying to put too much hope into it. I'm kind of just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see how the Mariners use him, whether they, you know, use him more as a pitcher, as a hitter, something like that. So, like, I'm kind of with you on this one, just waiting it out and seeing what happens, because the Mariners have shot my hopes down many a times before. I do think it would be a cool fit because Ichiro's legacy, you know, still lives on through here, and maybe that connection with Japan will help us.
I think that's part of what the pull is for Ohtani to come to Seattle. Growing up watching Ichiro, he's seen the Mariners uniform before, and he might really want to be a part of that. Seth, what do you think about it?
Well, and the last time that the Mariners made the playoffs was when they signed an international superstar, Ichiro Suzuki.
Okay.
Look at that.
I mean, they also had the history with signing Japanese players. Kazuhiro Sasaki, they had Kawasaki, the utility guy, Nori Aoki, Iwakuma. They've had lots of Japanese players, so they have the history and the chemistry there if that works in their favor.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Yeah, what do you got, DJ?
Plus, I mean, the Pacific Northwest, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of Japanese influences here, so he wouldn't feel that far away from home. It's on the West Coast, even closer to home for him. So, you know, traveling would be easy, too. It makes a lot of sense, but I don't want to get my hopes up too much.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Ohtani finally decides to land. Another move the Mariners have made, they've added Ryan Healy, formerly an Oakland Athletic. Healy batted .271. He had an on-base percentage of .302, an on-base plus slugging of .754. Healy, most likely, I think he will actually play first base for the M's. Feels like a much more permanent solution. Healy is only...
He's young.
He's young. And Baseball Reference not helping me out.
I'm going to say low 20s, 23.
Yeah, he's young enough to be more of a permanent fit at first base than maybe platoons in the past.
Yeah, he's not that veteran guy that we've been accustomed to seeing over there the last two or three years, as we were saying, like a platoon squad, Christian.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I do feel like it's a more permanent fit. I know he had a decent amount of home runs down there in Oakland, which is a pretty big ballpark, being that it's a football and baseball stadium.
25 home runs last year as an Oakland Athletic, and in 72 games the year before, he hit 13 home runs. So
He's
a little bit of a power threat from the right side, I believe. Yeah.
Yes. And he's used to that big ballpark, and I think he could fit in just perfectly here in Seattle.
Seth, thoughts on Ryan Healy?
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be the everyday first baseman, barring a significant change. I mean, he hits for a decent enough average. The on-base percentage is good enough where it's not going to be a significant drop-off from Yonder Alonso and company last year, and maybe even a possible upgrade in the power department. So yeah, I like the move for Seattle.
Only problem with the deal I have is that they gave up Emilio Pagan, kind of a long relief pitcher for the Mariners out of the bullpen, and he was solid last year for the M's. So you definitely gave up a lot to get what you hope to be, you know, a 25 home run type of guy over there at first base in Ryan Healy. So it'll be interesting to see what else they do throughout the rest of the offseason. I mean, apart from Ohtani, I don't know where they think they need to add.
Pitching.
I think they're fine with what they got.
Really?
I truly do.
I mean,
I think they're ready.
You haven't really changed much from last year, so.
It is what it is. I think that they're going to be cool with running out Erasmo Ramirez and Ariel Miranda. And, you know, Seth, you could shake your head all day long, but if they feel like that's the guys they need to go with, then, well, that's what they're going to do.
We do have Matt, or not Matt Moore, but.
Mike Leake.
Yeah, well, yeah, we got Mike Leake, but who's the other guy?
Drew Smiley.
Yes, so we'll have him back. He's coming off of Tommy John
at some point. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be right away, but
yeah. So it probably won't be, you know, beginning of season, but maybe we get him back after that, like, first month of the season or something like that. So I like the starting staff we got, but I still have questions about the bullpen.
Situational with the bullpen. Seth, you got thoughts? You're shaking your head, so just mad over there. Give it to me.
I think they probably will run out the same group, unfortunately, mostly because they have over $108 million in their payroll committed to Felix, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Mike Leake, Kyle Seager, and Gene Segura. I don't know how much more they can really do in free agency, how much more payroll they can take on and still be a profiting team. So they're probably going to have to run out Felix, Iwakuma, and Paxton, and those are guys who are probably going to be hurt at some point again.
Yeah. I mean, they're on paper, they're filled with hope, but that's
going to be a different philosophy. Same. You're not going to see a Erasmo Ramirez go out and give you seven strong.
Yeah.
Five decent is more likely.
Yeah.
Same with Ariel Miranda. Five decent, not seven strong, mm-hmm. which is fine, but you have to commit to it. I think we've talked about it before, that idea of Wolfpack pitching, just being committed to running out several guys in a game and hoping that gets you a W.
Speaking of Wolfpack pitching, if you want to check that out, that'll be on Half Athlete Radio on YouTube.
Yes, it will be. It is.
And we're pushing to get 100 subscribers. I think it actually is already, but we're pushing to get 100 subscribers and do a bonus show. So go follow Half Athlete Radio on YouTube.
Look at DJ. He's going to end it with a plug. That's what I'm talking about. Seth, do you have anything to add about the Mariners, or you want to go ahead and get on out of here?
We can go on and get out of here. I'll just say I'm pumped for this next season, even though it's only November. I'm excited to
that
see
little bit of talking
excited,
about.
Excited to see how much turnover DePoto gives to this roster.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be interesting. It will be interesting, and we will definitely talk about it when more moves come in from the Seattle Mariners. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. It was a lot of fun. We hit a lot of different fun topics, and mm-hmm. Ready to go about the rest of this week. Check out HNC Sports on Friday mornings at 10:30 a.m. That's Haina Alou and Carson Barnett. They talk a lot of football, and with it getting into championship week in college football and with the NFL where it's at, be sure to tune into their show, because I'm sure they're going to hit all of the best topics in the world of football and elsewhere, mm-hmm. for that matter. So for DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, my name is Christian Bond. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. See you.